course in our college this fall. We're thankful for that. And faithful in bus ministry and serving God faithfully. Thank God for that. We're putting out a new track. Actually, it has a QR code on it. And it has me giving the gospel for 10 minutes in English on one side and Jose Valley doing it in Spanish on the other side. And all they got to do is click on the QR code and they can get that. So that's another open door. What a blessing that is. Good to have you here today. And we welcome you. And I was on my way Friday morning driving out to Ann Arbor, Michigan with my son. My youngest son, who's a dentist, he wanted to take me out there. He knows I like football and Michigan football. I played Michigan football for the high school team, the Wolverines, and I root for the college team, Michigan Wolverines. And he was he had tickets out there and had it all set up for me to go to the big house. And so we were driving out there Friday, beautiful day, driving out there to Ann Arbor, got a motel out there, and a wonderful time. Got to lead a lady in the motel to Christ right getting there. That was a blessing. And we had a good time there in Ann Arbor, and then watched the game yesterday. I told him he wanted to get my take on what's going on in the Middle East. How many have heard about things going on in the Middle East? Yeah, a lot of you have. And He knows, you know, he's my son. He's been with me for years. He knows I know a lot of Bible prophecy. And he wanted to get my take on it. And I told him about Psalm 83 and that I'd preached on that Wednesday night. And I said, I'm going to preach on it again Sunday night. But after talking to him, I decided I'm going to preach on it Sunday night, Sunday morning, and keep going on what's going on in the Middle East. And so anyway, we had a really good talk, and I wound up spending a lot of time going through that with him. And then I got there to the motel, and I got a call from the Scranton area, and it's somebody that hasn't been in church in months, years, I don't know how long, but they heard about what was going on in the Middle East, and they remembered my preaching and my teaching, and they made this statement. They said, "Is this Psalm 83, Pastor? Is this Psalm 83?" And I said, I believe it very well could be. I believe this could be it. And he knew I'd been preaching on this. He said, "Pastor, can I come back to church?" I said, "Sure, come on back." And so what I'm saying to you is that this attack from Gaza that I preached on Wednesday, and I'm going to preach on part two today. What does this attack from Gaza upon Israel mean to you? By the way, it has been verified they did cut off babies' heads. It was news on Newsmax today. It was verified by the government. They have raped women. They have cut off their heads. And men, they have done heinous things. There's two wars going on there. And the second war is probably one of the worst. It's a literal kinetic war of actual physical warfare. And then there's what we call the information war. And the information war is the ability to lie to people and deceive people about what happened. You know, you ever heard of a Holocaust denier?
Right.
Like it never happened. 6 million Jews were never slaughtered and burned in the ovens by Hitler and his crew. And that's what they're trying to do here in the Middle East and protesting Israel and how, but it's not working as they expected. Not working as they expected. Why? Because God Almighty's in control here. He's in control here. And I have heard it said by not Bible preachers who preach on this, but I've heard it said by people in political power, and one of the people is the head of Israel, the premier Netanyahu of their government there. He said that this war, and others have said it, will not just be a war, it'll be the reshaping of the entire map of the Middle East. It'll be a reshaping of the entire map of the Middle East. Isn't that what I preached on? If you know what I preached on, I said that it's going to be Israelistine, and there's going to be a reshaping of the map of the Middle East. And I'd like you to turn back to Psalm 83. By the way, you should have a Bible, a King James Bible. If you don't, that's all right. You just listen, and hopefully you'll get a Bible and you can bring it to church. But turn to Psalm 83, and we are looking at this big war that is coming. Now, as you're turning to Psalm 83, let me just say something. Does anybody know, and I don't want you to say it out loud, but does anybody know the last time Israel declared war upon its enemies in the Middle East? What year that was, when that was? And I know some of you know it, and if I gave you the opportunity to say it, you would say, if you were right, you would say, the last time was 1973. How many years ago is that? 50. Is 50 a significant number in Israel and in the Bible? Absolutely. It was Israel's jubilee. And a jubilee meant that if you had lost land because of debt, if you had lost land that was taken from you and other things, they would all have to be returned to you after 50 years. Well, it's very interesting that the last time Israel declared war was 50 years ago. Now they've declared war for the first time in 50 years. And the premier of Israel is saying, the prime minister, he is saying, we're going to do this until everything is set right. And I believe this could very possibly be the fulfillment of Bible prophecy that's written in Psalm 83. And what I said Wednesday night was quoting a man by the name of Bill Salus, S-A-L-U-S. And there was a time when I knew, and there's his name, and there was a time when I knew that I was really getting understanding of the book of Revelation. I was getting understanding from God that he was helping me, and he used men in my life like John Benson. He was a pre-tribulationist, but he used him in my life. He used men in my life. Robert Gundry used a key person was Marv Rosenthal, and then Bob Van Kampen. And those men were used in my life. But I said, God, I really have an understanding of what's going to happen during the 7 years just before Jesus sets up his kingdom on earth. I understand about the rapture now. I understand about all the things to do with the 7 years. It's so clear. And I really am understanding the book of Revelation. But what about now? And now until the beginning of the 7 years, what is there anything in the Bible that would help me to teach and explain that to people so they could know as they're waiting for the next prophecies to happen in the Revelation? What about the now prophecies? And here is a book called The Now Prophecies: Disaster in Iran, Destruction of Damascus, Decline of America, The Final Arab-Israeli War. And that last one is what I want to focus in on this morning, the final Arab-Israeli war. And I believe that is detailed for us in Psalm 83, and it's written by a man who the Bible says very clearly in 1 Chronicles, it tells us 1 Chronicles and chapter 25, verse 22, that this man is a seer, and his name is Asaph, and he's a prophet, and he looked forward in Psalm 83, listen to this, 3,000 years to your day. And he wrote down what was going to happen 3,000 years ago. Do you know just a few years ago, they were digging in a bog in Ireland? How many have ever been to Ireland? I haven't. But anyway, they were digging in a bog in Ireland. I know my son-in-law goes there a lot. And my daughter and her family, they went to Ireland just recently. And they like to travel over there. But in Ireland, they were digging in a bog. And you know what they discovered, Brother Bob? Psalm 83, an ancient manuscript of Psalm 83. I don't believe that's a mistake. I believe God is, like our former pastor used to say, fitting to fulfill it and to have it fulfilled. And you know, this psalm is about war. And that's what's going on right now in the Middle East. Now, this war has been declared by Israel. And it's fitting to be a larger war in the Middle East if what I'm saying is true today. This is the fulfillment of Psalm 83. Now, am I dogmatic? Do I know that for sure? No, I don't know that for sure. But it's starting to look like a duck, quack like a duck. So it could be that this is it. And so this big war is something that is about ready, like Bill Salas would say it, to roll out from the parchment of prophecy onto the pavement of your life. And it will make a difference in your life. Unfortunately, probably very soon you'll start to see gas prices go higher. Unfortunately, for a while. But at any rate, we are looking at what is going on, and we're asking the question, what does the attack from Gaza mean to you? And there was an attack, October 8th, Hamas attacked Israel, and you know the story, cut people's heads off and shot people and raped the women and did terrible acts upon them and killed about 1,300 people, took Americans hostage. And they have hostages over there right now. They have these hostages, and they're holding these hostages. And what a terrible thing it is that they're doing. You see, the Israeli soldiers are saying, if you are over there and you're a civilian, get out of this area. We're going to invade it. We don't want to kill you. We're warning you. Get out of here. We want to get the people that did this wickedness. Now, the people that did it are telling the hostages, don't go. And in some cases, they're keeping them from going. Why do they do that? They want them killed. And they want Israel to kill them accidentally. So they can then say, oh, look how bad Israel is. So you see, this is an information war, too. And that's one of the reasons why I'm preaching the Bible, because this is a spiritual war. You see, there's a bigger war than just people fighting. When you see people fighting, even in the church, you see craziness coming up.
Right.
It's Satan behind it.
That's right.
He sees we're doing a campaign. He sees we're winning souls. And he's trying to get little things stirred up to try to get you fighting each other instead of fighting the devil. And that's what Satan specializes in. And that is what is going to be going on in this thing, too. And we'll talk about that as we look at this. But you need to understand today that behind all of this and the war that's going on, God and Satan are duking it out. And they're playing 3D chess with each other. Guess who wins when Satan and God play chess? Well, Satan is brilliant, but he's not any match for God. God always wins. Satan thought he checkmated God when Jesus came. You know, Jesus came 2,000 years ago. It was actually God in the flesh. Satan knew that. But he didn't want people to believe in the Lord and that he was the Messiah of Israel. He didn't want Israel to get saved and set up their kingdom. So he moved them, and he moved Judas. Didn't it say he filled Judas? Didn't Satan do that? He moved Judas to do what? He moved Judas to have Jesus arrested. Have Jesus beaten and crucified. And when it was happening, Satan was going, yeah, I won. You're checkmated, Jesus. I beat you. You're on the cross. That's why his men started taunting. You know, in football, if you get a big victory, you're not supposed to taunt, you know, afterward. Sometimes they get a little bit extreme with that. But anyway, you're not supposed to taunt. And Satan was taunting. He was having these people come up to Jesus saying, aha, come on down from the cross if you're such a big shot. And Jesus stayed up there because he knew that he needed to stay there. If he came down from the cross, you can't be saved. You'd have to die and go to hell and pay for your own sin. Jesus had to stay up there and finish the job to pay for our sins, or we're going to have to pay for them, because God said, if you sin, you got to die and go to hell. And Jesus either does it or you do it. And Jesus said, I'm not coming down from these jerks. I mean, he didn't say jerks. I'm saying jerks. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, I'm saying, you know, they're jerks. But anyway, that was going on. That was going on. And Satan is like taunting Jesus, man, but he's just staying right there doing what the Father wanted him to do. And then he goes, it's finished, and he paid for our sins. And Satan was like, yeah, all right, bury him now. We got him. 3 days and three nights he was in the grave. You know what happened, right? He comes out of the grave. So what does Satan do? He moves the Jews to lie and say that, oh, it wasn't a resurrection. His disciples stole his body. Now he's lying. He's doing the information war. He's trying to keep people from believing. If you're here today, you need to believe that Jesus is real. Amen. That the Bible is real. Amen. That being saved is real. Going to hell is real. The fire is real. And unless you get saved by Jesus, I don't care how good you are. I don't care good work. You'll still have to pay for your sins. If a murderer says, I've done some good things, the judge will say, that's too bad. You still got to go. And by the way, the Bible says we're all murderers, because if you hate somebody in your heart, you've committed murder. Right. If you've ever told a lie, you're a liar. So you're a liar and a murderer before God. So you need to be saved just like anybody else. And so I'm just saying that Satan is still trying to beat the Lord. He couldn't stop him the first time from dying and rising from the dead. So what's he trying to do now? He's trying to stop him from coming back and setting up his kingdom. And one of the ways he can do that is get rid of Israel. Because the Bible very clear is when the Lord comes back, Israel's going to be there. And Israel's going to accept him, the whole nation. So he's like, I don't want that to happen. No. I don't want that to happen. So he's fighting against it. So you got a war going on between Satan and the Lord. And that's what we've been preaching on. And that's what we have been talking about here in Psalm 83. So what I'd like to do, I'd like to look at what does this attack mean to you. And Wednesday night, I preached on the motive of the people that are attacking. Okay, who are the people attacking? Right now, we know Hamas is attacking, right? Hamas is attacking, and they're attacking from Gaza. We know Hezbollah is starting to get stirred up to attack. And we know there are other rumblings of other nations that are going to want to attack Israel over there. And the question we're asking is, what is their motive? And so we're going to look at that. So look, first of all, at verse 4. I'm going to read it, Psalm 83, verse 4. You follow. It says, and they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. So according to that, these people, and by the way, as you look at who these people are, and we're going to try to get to that today, Brother Bob, we're going to try to get there. As we look at who these people are, we look at they're the sons of Esau, and they're the sons of Ishmael. Who are the sons of Esau? Well, they're the people over there that are right near Israel right now in the land. And the sons of Ishmael are the people that are around Israel, the inner core of nations around Israel, that are their neighbors. And they're Arabs and they're Islamic people. And these people are not happy. They are not happy, you see, at all. They're not happy at all that Israel is there. And you need to understand that when it says in verse 4 that we want to cut them off from being a nation, that is something that didn't really happen until 1948, because they weren't a nation until 1948. They weren't a nation since AD 70 until 1948. And so they weren't even a nation. So how are you going to cut them off? So in 1948, as soon as they became a nation, guess what happened? These nations attacked Israel to cut them off from being a nation. And were they successful? No. They thought they're going to win. They thought, we've got this. There were 6 million, basically, people around Israel and just a few Jewish people with not many weapons, and God did miracles, and they won the war in 48, the Jewish people, and they kept their land. And then again, there was another war, and that was in 1967. And in 1967, that war was, again, these people were going to try to cut Israel off, drive them into the sea, get rid of them. Israel heard about it and preempted an attack and hit their planes and their aircraft before they even got off the ground. And in 6 days, Israel defeated them. 6 days. 60 million people. The sons of Esau and Ishmael. Wow, I remember that time because I was a teenager. I got saved. I believed in Christ. I got saved. It was a wonderful time. I remember the old city of Jerusalem was captured again for the first time since AD 70. Oh, what a time it was. And then, you see, the Arab people, the Ishmaelite people, they and the sons of Esau, they were so angry. They were so angry what happened. They said, we'll get them. We'll wait till their holy day called Yom Kippur. How many have heard of Yom Kippur? That's called the Day of Atonement. That's when the Jewish people, they have a holiday and they celebrate, you know, the Day of Atonement. And they were having this holiday. It was a Sabbath. They were all resting and having a holiday. And the Arab nations attacked them from the south and from the north and attacked them. And they almost overran them because they were surprised. But then God helped them to fight back, and they won the Yom Kippur War, Jews did, and they weren't exterminated and driven out of their land. Well, that was it. The Arab people and these Islamic people, they were like, man, we cannot beat these people. And a lot of people thought it's over. There's going to be no more Middle East war. But no, it kept going, and there were wars and rumors of wars, but not a declared war since 73. But now Hamas has invaded Israel, and they want to cut them off from being a nation. So I would like to have you look at verse 5. Just look at verse 5 of Psalm 83, and I'll read it. It says there, "For they have consulted together with one consent." These people have consulted together to make a plan, it says, to attack Israel and to drive them into the sea. They couldn't do it in 48. They couldn't do it in 67. They couldn't do it in 73. Now, 50 years later, Satan still wants them to do it. And so, right now, they are still going to attempt to do this again. And I believe that this attack that happened just recently on October 8th is Satan's attempt, and it could be the final attempt, and God is going to win such a victory over them that he's going to stop it completely. And these nations that are an inner core of nations, and I would even include Saudi Arabia possibly in that, but we'll look at that in a minute. Because what I would like to do this morning is God not only calls out their motive, and I want to read one more verse on their motive, and then I'm going to call out their name. I'm going to call their name out. You know, people get embarrassed if a teacher calls their name and says, you stay after school, and they say their name. That's embarrassing, right? Well, I'm going to do that today. I'm going to call out the name of the people that are involved in this war against Israel. And I'm going to say what God's going to do to them tonight. But I want to say to you, as I look at this and I look at what happened here, I look at verse 12. And look with me at verse 12 of Psalm 83, and I'll read it. It said, "Who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession?" Now, my son asked me, he said, "Now, what does that mean, Father?" He said, "Is that the temples?" And I said, "It could be that, but I said, I think it's more than that. I think it's homes, literal homes, because the Jewish people, when they go into the promised land, as they did in 1948, they made kibbutzes, then they made homes. And did you notice that these Islamic terrorists, they came right into the kibbutzes? They came right into their homes and they took the women captive. They took the babies. They tried to take their homes in possession. You see, they want to take over. They want to take the homes back from people that went over there. Remember, they always said to the Israelites, do not make any new settlements. Don't make any new settlements over in the promised land because we don't want you here. They don't want them here. They want their name cut off. And so that is the goal of Satan, and that's the goal of these Islamic people that are buying into Satan's agenda. And so we preached on the motive. Now, today, it means that God calls out their actual names. So follow. I'm going to read their names. Are you ready? Here it is. Verse 6 of Psalm 83 says, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab, after the semicolon, of Moab, and the Hagarenes, Gebal, and Ammon, and Amalek, the Philistines, with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They have hopen, speaking of Asher, they have hopen or helped the children of Lot, Selah. Now, isn't that interesting? Whenever you see Selah at the end of it, that means you need to listen to this sermon. The sermon I'm going to preach on is these names of these people. He's saying, now you need to think about it. Why should you think about it? Because we have, I believe, for the first time in 3,000 years, a very possible fulfillment of these people that are going to invade and are going to take over and do these things. And Israel is now declaring war on Gaza. But I believe it, if it's the one that I'm thinking of, it's going to expand to all of those peoples there. It's going to expand to all of those people there. All right? And so you can look at it, and I'm going to go through it and make some comments on it as we go through these people. First of all, notice the tabernacles of Edom. Do you see that? The tabernacles of Edom. Now, the tabernacles of Edom, the word tabernacle stands for tent. How many of you have ever camped out in a tent? Amen? You've been in a tent. All right. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, you go out in a tent. And I used to do that as a kid. Our family go out camping. It was fun. But these people, how did they wind up in tents? Well, Edom is from Esau, the son of Isaac. There was Esau and Jacob. Jacob was chosen by God to bring forth the Savior and to get the promised land. Esau was rejected by God. And the people that came from Esau were Edomites. They had the name Edom. Now, where's Edom today? It's the southern part of the nation called Jordan. Southern Jordan. And the Edomites, you see, are people living in tents. Well, who are these Edomites? They are the Palestinian people. You say, well, how did the Palestinian people get to be the Palestinian people? That's a very important question. How did these people get to be so poor? How did these people get to live in tents? Now, what people say is, oh, Israel is oppressing them. Israel is oppressing them. How many have heard that? Okay, Israel is oppressing them. No, that is not true. Israel has more freedom than any other nation in the Middle East. And they have people that are Arab people in their parliament and so forth and so on. They are a Jewish state, but they allow freedom. Just like America was really a Christian nation, but it allowed freedom of religion. But now it's gone to the other extreme, right? It's just been hijacked, America. But I'm just saying to you that these people that live in these tents, they are not there because of the oppression by Israel. Israel's not being mean to them. No, I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you the history really quick here, what happened. In 1948, when Israel became a nation, the Arab people from these nations around Israel, Jordan, Egypt, Syria, for instance, they said, look, we're going to invade Israel. There's like 60 million of us. These Jews will not, they're a ragtag band. I know the UN gave them this land and all that, and they didn't recognize God brought them back there. They just thought it's a bunch of Zionists. By the way, Zionism, God is behind it. Let me say that again. Zionism, God is behind it. You know, people, all they can see is man and the sins of men, and there are, all of us are sinners, but God is behind Zionism. You read Ezekiel, God said, I'm going to gather Israel back in unbelief. And he's been doing it. But anyway, when that happened, these people, they said, we're going to invade. So you guys that are living, you people that are descendants of Esau, that are living in the promised land, in the land where Israel thinks that they're promised this land, just don't worry. Leave your houses. Leave your city. Get away, because we're going to invade. And we don't want you guys hurt. 2 weeks later, it'll take us about 2 weeks to win this war. 2 weeks later, we'll give you your home back and the homes of the Jews that we killed. We're going to give you your home and theirs. They said, wow, let's do it. We'll do it. They made an agreement. And so they did. And the Arabs invaded in 48. Amazingly, God helped the Jews to win. They were shocked. And the Palestinian people, who were from Edom, Esau, they said to Egypt, can we go and live in your country? By the way, that's happening right now. The refugees can't get into Egypt that are trying to get away. They won't let them in there. But they said, no, you can't come to Egypt. How about Syria? Can we come there? You told us you'd give us their houses. Nope, you can't come here. Jordan, how about you? No, you can't come here. They could not go to any Arab country. So here's what the Arabs said. Why don't you just stay in Israel and live in tents, tabernacles, and give the Jews problems. Say to the Jews, you have taken away our home. You've oppressed us. And now we want a two-state solution. We want you to give us a country within your country. As if Israel was not small enough. It's only as big as the state of New Jersey as it is. And they said, we're going to make it even smaller. We're going to make it even smaller. We're going to cut it up and give part to the Palestinians, who are the Tabernacles of Edom people. But Israel didn't go along with that. And so guess what? They're living in tents all these years, living in tabernacles. And God said, they're going to be behind invading. They're going to help stir the pot. They're not innocent in this thing. Some of them may have creeped into where Hamas is now. Some of them are still all around the southern part of Israel there. But they are these people that we're talking about, called Palestinians. That's their name, Palestinians. And that's a whole other thing, Palestine. Palestine is a bad name given by the Emperor Hadrian of Rome to Israel. And he said, I hate Israel. They have rebelled against me. I'm going to turn their country into a potty. And I want everybody just to go potty on their country. And he said, what is the worst enemy of the Jews? And they said, oh, the Philistines, they hated the Jews. He said, good. The name in Latin, and he spoke Latin, for the Philistine is Palestina. Palestina. We're going to call it Palestina, which is Palestine. And so the name Palestine is not the name God gave it. He gave it the land of Israel. But the Palestine is an insult. And so these people called the Palestinians, they want to have that land that God promised to the Jews. And now they're living in these tents and going through all this quote-unquote abuse, you know, crying abuse, abuse, abuse. And they're being used as a political football by the Islamic people to give Israel trouble and to stir up war. And these Palestinian people, yes, they're going along with it. All right, so we've identified, I've called them out now to you. I've called them out, the Tabernacles of Edom, and they're still dealing with tents and all of that kind of stuff. But let's go on and see the next people that we have that are the enemies of Israel that are going to be involved in the attack. So go back to Psalm 83. What comes after the Tabernacles of Edom? It says, and the what? The Ishmaelites. You know, Abraham had Isaac and Ishmael, two of his sons. Who came from Isaac? The Jews, Israel. Who came from Ishmael? The Arab people. Hence, Brother Bob, can you give me that Saudi Arabia one? Again, that map where it shows all the enemies. Can you go? Yeah, you see Saudi Arabia? They're the Ishmaelites. Ishmaelites are Saudi Arabia, and they're going to ally and help with this. Now, that doesn't work, because you know what happened in 1948 and in 1967 and 1973, Saudi Arabia was cheering on invading Israel. They were part of funding and helping to invade Israel. But what happened since Donald Trump became president? Does anybody know what happened? Donald Trump did something called, brother, and I'm sure you know this, our brother back there knows it. He called something called the Abraham Accords. And he said Ishmael came from Abraham, and so did Isaac. And so let's have peace between Isaac and Ishmael. And Donald Trump called for peace. And it worked. Saudi Arabia said, we'll make peace with Israel. Egypt had already made peace, but they strengthened it more. And Syria and so forth. And so they strengthened it with the Abraham Accords. And especially Saudi Arabia is involved with this. And guess what that did? That made the Middle East become more wealthy. And people were getting rich and having peace. Instead of fighting each other, the Arabs and Jews were working together. Isn't that nice? But you know who doesn't want that? Satan. He likes wars and rumors of war. He wants you fighting Christians in the church, and he wants all kind of trouble. And so he tried to stir up and undermine what Donald Trump had done. And don't go along with the Biden administration and these guys. They're acting like they're friends of Israel, but really they helped to stir up this war. Did you hear me? I told you not to vote for Biden because you're voting for O'Biden, which is Obama. And blood is on your hands. All these people, if you voted. You say, can you say that, Pastor? I'll say whatever I want in my pulpit. As long as I believe it's of God. If it's God's word, the Bible, I will say it. And I won't be afraid. So I want to say to you today that war is happening. And these people, the Western globalists, have helped to stir it up. A Jew by the name of George Soros has helped to stir it up. And there are a lot of leftist Jews that are involved in it, just like Judas Iscariot was a Jew, and he had Jesus crucified. They're playing ball with Satan, too. And there's a lot going on here. But we're looking at what God says and what God's going to do. And so what you need to understand is Saudi Arabia is going to be involved in this attack against Israel, even after they had peace. Why would that happen? Here's why. The Arabs in the Middle East are either Sunni or Shiite Muslims. Sunni or Shiite. Saudi Arabia and the countries that are around Israel are mainly what you call Sunnis. Not total, but Sunnis. How many have heard of Iran? Iran is not Arab. They're basically from Japheth. They're not Arab people. And Iranian people are Shiite Muslims, and they're against Sunnis. When they saw Trump do the Abraham Accords and the peace between Israel and the Sunni Arabs like Saudi Arabia, they were angry, and they said, oh, we got to cause these guys to fight each other. And the Western globalists who are backing Obama and Biden and all of that, they said, yeah, we'll go along with this Israel fighting each other. And we want to even help and give Iran money to help this. You know that $6 billion they gave? Now they're saying, oh, no, we're freezing that. Yeah, they're caught with their hand in the cookie jar. And they're going to try to fool you, but money is fungible. You've heard that? When you give money on one hand, it's used on the other. And once your attention is taken away from their hand in the cookie jar, their goal was to enable Iran to do what they're doing. And you say, well, what is Iran doing? They were jealous that the Sunni Arabs were working with Israel and having peace. They want to have the Shiite Muslims take over from all the way from Iran all the way down to the
Mediterranean Sea, and Iran wants to take over. And so they put Hezbollah in the north, and they put Hamas in the west, and they are trying to stir up war in Israel, you see, so that eventually they can take over and they can defeat the enemy. So that is a little bit behind the scenes of what's going on. But let me go on here real quickly, and I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to continue this and finish this tonight. I'm going to stop right here, right now. I'm going to finish this tonight. And here's what I'm going to say to you right now about this war and what's going on in this war in the Middle East. If this is Psalm 83, we are getting very close to prophecy being fulfilled. It will change your life, will change the Middle East.
Right.
You say, well, Pastor, what can I do? First of all, if you're a born-again Christian, would you get close? Because it's close. This prophecy is close. Would you get close? Would you get close to God? Would you get close to your Bible? Would you get close to helping out, win souls, and witness for Jesus Christ? Would you get close to the Lord and to the preacher and click around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission? And where you see that not going on, that's the devil. Would you see that's the devil? Watch the devil. He always will try to work to stop a winning team from winning. You know, I went to the Michigan game. One thing I see, they have special teams, and they have defense, they have offense, they have quarterbacks and receivers and all that. And what makes a winning team is a coach like John Harbaugh, and there are other great winning teams. Penn State, Notre Dame won a great... wherever you have a winning team, you're going to see a good coach. And that coach is going to make the people work together. Sarge, together, you said it. What?
Together, everyone accomplishes more.
And so God wants you to get close to the Lord. And if you get close to the Lord, he's our head coach, amen. And the preacher works under the Lord. He'll help you to accomplish more by playing your part on the team. Brother Jose, I appreciated Brother Jose. He locked in, and he's playing his part on bus ministry. He's playing his part on soul winning ministry. He's playing his part in going to school. He's playing his part in special music. I mean, this guy locked in. He's a great example of what I'm talking to you about now. Follow him as he follows Christ. Are you locked in? I told you the guy that called me up in Michigan. When he called me up, oh, there's war in the Middle East, Pastor. I'll be back to church. You should have been here all the time. I didn't say that. And I'm not identifying this guy because he speaks for a lot of you or a lot of us. And we say, wow, I'll get close. No, get close and stay close to the Lord. Stay with what he's got for you to do. Number one. Number two. If you're not saved, don't put it off. Because big things are happening. This message I'm preaching to you now, you can go back to the news and now you'll say, wow, he preached on that. It's happening. It's like it's going from the pages of the Bible to the pavement. Boom, to fulfill it. So get saved. When these things began to happen in Israel in 1967, it got my attention. I listened about hell and that I was a sinner and I knew I was going to go to hell. And then I listened when my grandmother told me about Jesus dying on the cross. And guess what? I got saved. You young people, you should get saved. You say, how do I get saved? You just ask Jesus to take your sins away and come into your heart. The Bible says you got to be like a child to get saved. Don't question God. Don't try to change the Bible. Just accept it like a child does when a parent tells them something, usually. You accept it and accept the Lord as your Savior. And by the way, don't doubt God. If you believe on the Lord, you are saved. And he comes in your heart. And then after you get saved, you should get baptized. Join the church and do what God wants you to do. All right, we'll look at it tonight, 7 o'clock. But let's bow for prayer right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed.